chapter 1. As I was preparing this, because this was on my heart, I am not exactly sure. I think I have. I introduced Proverbs in the past, but I'm going to do it again because the Lord has laid it on my heart to begin with this. And as the Lord will allow in the future, I don't know how consistently or how often, but we will walk through the Proverbs. And I encourage everyone to read a proverb a day. Most months have 30 to 31 days in the month. And we've got 31 proverbs. So a proverb for every day can we say? Proverb a day keeps the devil away? I don't know. I don't think that's the saying, but that's what we're going to make it. But Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 6 as we just kind of introduce the book and how much it can help us. But Proverbs 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings." And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His Word. Four things I want to look at tonight in by kind of introduction to the book of Proverbs is, number one, and very well known, and you probably ought to know this, but the penmen of the book, the one for the most part, now there are some that wrote parts of Proverbs, but for the most part, Solomon was the one who wrote the book of Proverbs. It says that, verse 1, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." And as we know, Solomon is described in the Bible as the wisest man to ever live. And go with me to 1 Kings chapter 3. We see where this wisdom came from. This wisdom, and this, let this be a lesson to us all as we are beginning the book of Proverbs here, and as the Lord allows us to go through it, we're going to receive wisdom from the same place Solomon did. He did not produce it in himself. He didn't study a lot of books and read a lot of things and make himself wise. That's not how you're made wise. We see that Solomon was made wise because he desired wisdom from the Lord. That's where true wisdom comes from. And we see this beautiful passage. I love it so much. 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse number 5. 1 Kings chapter 3, in verse number 5. Make sure I'm in the right one here. Verse number 5. "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.'" And if anybody here be like, Lamborghini, bigger house, good health, some more tacos, biscuits and gravy. Solomon here, God said, ask what you want. Verse number 6. "And Solomon said, 'Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart." And that should be the desire of every person in this room. We may not be leading the nation of Israel, but we need wisdom from God if we're going to live this life in a manner that pleases Him. "So give the servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. So God gave him what he asked for. And the Lord was pleased with the fact that he didn't ask for long life or victory over his enemies or a lot of money, but he wanted wisdom to continue the godly legacy of his father as he ruled the nation of Israel. Verse 13, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. If thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up a burnt offering and offered a peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. It makes me think of the verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what Solomon did. Solomon could have got whatever he wanted. He said, Lord, I need understanding. I need wisdom to lead your people. And that's what we all need. And I love the fact that when he desired what God wanted him to desire, what does it say? Delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll give thee desires thine heart. The Lord blessed him with all the things he didn't ask for. And the Lord will bless us with things we didn't ask for when we put him first. So we see the penman. That's where the wisdom came from. He desired wisdom over wealth or over victory over his enemies. That's the penman of the book. This isn't just some random guy writing a book down, but this is the wisest man to ever live who received his wisdom from God. And we see the penman is Solomon. But we see next, number two, the practicality of the book. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. What is a proverb? A proverb is kind of like a maxim. What is a maxim? A short, pithy statement expressing a general truth or rule of conduct. Something short, something easy to memorize, and something that can be easily applied. And here we have that in the Word of God. So it's short, pithy statements that give us things that we can memorize and immediately apply to our life. The book of Proverbs is not just a book full of information that can't do anything for us, but just about every verse you read, you can apply to your life. It's maxims that we can live by every day, that we can quote every day, so God can give us the grace to be obedient to it. As I thought about this, I thought about the maxims of the Tennessee Vols. What I mean, I always grew up on Saturdays. General Neyland, they had recorded him in Tennessee screaming out the maxims of Tennessee football. And those were things that they quoted, that they would quote before every game so that they would remember how they would need to play the game. And that's what we have here. We have those things in the Word of God that shows us how to live our lives in a manner that pleases Him. This book shows us fathers how to be good dads. It shows children how to be good children. It shows husbands how to be good husbands. It shows employees how to be good employees. It shows us how to be faithful. It shows us how to live the Christian life. This book is so practical. That's why I encourage, not just so you can say I read a proverb today, but reading a proverb every day so that you can store this in your heart, because it has something to say to every aspect of life. Every single aspect of life is addressed here in the book of Proverbs. It's a very practical book. It gives a short, easily to memorize statements that we can immediately apply to our lives. So we see the penman, the practicality. Now we see the purpose of the book. And I'm moving quickly, and I'm not going to be very long tonight. So we see the purpose in verses 2 through 6. Kind of breaks it down. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. And is that not missing in our world today? A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Initially, I had planned on digging deeply into this, but I want to give you three easy to remember purposes for the book of Proverbs. I mean, because that's what Proverbs, they're easy to remember, easy to apply. I wanted to do that with my thought for the purpose. The first purpose of the book of Proverbs is obviously to illuminate the Word of God to us. Illumination of the Word. Because what it says in verse number 6, it says to understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. That doesn't mean they're evil sayings or they're wicked sayings. But kind of like in the New Testament, when it talks about a mystery, it was something that was previously hid but is now being revealed. See, we don't have wisdom within ourselves. Young men, like the Bible talked about there, does not have discernment on their own. It has to be revealed to us from the Word of God, and that is a huge purpose of the book of Proverbs, is to illuminate to us truths of the Word of God that we can immediately apply. Things that we cannot understand unless the Holy Spirit illuminates them to our heart. So, purpose number one, to illuminate, illumination of the Word. But it's not just to give us information. Because we talked about how practical the book of Proverbs is. We can be immediately applied. But also, it is for education in our walk. It teaches us how to live. We see there, it says, as we read there, verse number 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. The word instruction there, it's kind of cautioning. A lot of times in Proverbs, it cautions us of things not to do. A lot of times in Proverbs, it tells us, don't do this. But it also tells us what happens if we do that. It's very practical. It basically says, here's what you should do. Here's what you shouldn't do. And it even says, if you do this, if you do what you should, this is what's going to happen. And if you don't do what you should, or if you do what you shouldn't, here's what's going to happen. It lays it all out for us, makes it very clear. By God's grace, we read and we learn and we study and we apply the book of Proverbs, we'll be that blessed man. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, blessed is the man. That'll be us. That blessed man. So it illuminates the illumination of the Word, education in our walk, but not only teaching us, but I praise the Lord, this is a book. What the book of Psalms is to our prayer life and our devotion life, the book of Proverbs is to our Christian living in the world we have for us today. I mean, I was reading in Proverbs today and it gave me things I could apply right now. One of the verses, it seems like every time I come through, the Lord just hammers me with, and it's in my mind right now, soft answer turneth away wrath. Well, it's saying if you get frustrated, Tyler, do not answer roughly. You have the ability to be water or gasoline in any given situation. The other, you say, well, they came in hot to me. Well, you're going to put gas on that fire or water? Very practical passage of Scripture. It talks about in Proverbs. If we basically talking about the blessings on the man that regards the poor and also the judgment on those that don't. Talks about many times in the book of Proverbs, it talks about the strange woman. And the urgency to avoid her and the sadness of when it is not done. The book of Proverbs we can apply to our everyday life and it teaches us how to live in a manner that pleases the Lord. So there's illumination of the Word, education for our walk, and then the goal is application in the world. Applying it so that we live like Jesus. That we live like the Lord. So that's the purpose. That is the purpose. But we see number 4, the person. Because this isn't just a book of the Bible that any person can read and it apply to them. It's for a specific group of people. So the person, as we see in verse 5, it says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. A wise man. Does that mean a man that is very educated and book smart? No, that means somebody that's saved by the grace of God. It says verse 7 there, and if the Lord allows us to continue on, when He does, verse 7 is probably where we'll begin. But it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. True knowledge and wisdom and discernment, discretion, prudence, whatever you want to call it, cannot enter into the human heart until someone is saved by the grace of God. We cannot live the Christian life if we're not a Christian. So this is for, it says, a wise man. I praise the Lord. I'm not very smart, but I can be a wise man. Not because I'm book smart, because everybody here, you listen to me talk for 2 seconds, you know that's not the case. But in the truths of the Scripture, I can be a wise man if I'm obedient to what this says. And you can be a wise man or a wise lady as well. It's for the saved person. But it's also for the seeking person. It says, the fear of the... that's verse number 7. Verse 6, 2, nope, 5. There we go. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. Will hear. I mean, you're listening for, seeking to understand. This wisdom is here and it's available for every child of God, but for it to have an impact on you, you've got to crack it open and read it and study it and look at it and meditate on it. Listen to sermons about it. Pray about it. Ask God to give you the grace to do it, but you got to be seeking. If you're not seeking for the wisdom in the book of Proverbs, even if you are saved, it's not going to have an impact on your life. It's not. If your Bible stays shut, you can't just put the Bible to your head and say, Lord, give me the wisdom from the Proverbs. That's not how it works. We've got to crack it open. We've got to read it. We've got to study it. We've got to pray over it. We've got to seek. But I praise the Lord, if you'll seek, you will find. This book is loaded with wisdom that can change you, can change me. We've got to be saved. We've got to be seeking. But we see that person will also be separate. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. See, the purpose of the book of Proverbs will be defeated if you're reading a proverb every morning, but then you're mixing it up with people that they're not wise counselors. Because if we're honest with ourselves, we don't spend 24 hours a day reading the Bible. If you do, wow. Wow. I don't even come remotely close. Even at the best of some people, I mean, a couple hours a day maybe in the Word. How many hours a day do you spend? There's a lot more hours in the day. If we're going to let the book of Proverbs transform us, we've got to be seeking the wisdom that is in the book, but we've got to separate ourselves from wicked things, wicked people, wicked shows or news outlets or things you listen to on the radio, anything that's putting the worldly wisdom in your mind, we've got to separate ourselves from and seek wise counsel. Because we're kind of canceling it out. If we're gonna read the book of Proverbs for 15 minutes a day, but then go be around wicked people and watch wicked shows and listen to wicked things and read wicked books, I mean, what good did the book of Proverbs do you? And I know that's hard, and I know that's not popular. But if I'm going to be what the Lord wants me to be, then I'm going to have to separate myself from some things. That's different things for each of us. I mean, whatever it is that is pouring things of this world into your mind, into your heart, that's fighting against the wisdom of the Word and of the book of Proverbs. Now, some things you can't, like if you're working in a rough situation, I mean, you got to go to work, you got to pay your bills, I understand that. But we choose, like our social media, we choose our TV shows, we choose our movies, we choose our music, we choose all those things. If we want to be changed by the book of Proverbs and live a godly life, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, changing of your mind. Think differently. We think, well, all that stuff's fun. I really enjoy it. Well, do you want to enjoy the pleasures of this world, or do you want to be more like Jesus? Can't have both. Hey, I've tried. If we're honest, most of us have tried. It's not possible. We got to turn our back on the things of this world, set our affections on things above. And man, the book of Proverbs can change our life. It can make me a better husband, dad, employee, pastor. Every aspect of my life, it can make me better if I let it. May God help us to do that. I encourage you, read a proverb a day. And that way, whenever the Lord allows us to be back in Proverbs, hey, you'd be like, I read that just the other day. Sermons have more pop if you have read that scripture beforehand. You say, well, I don't know what scripture you're going to preach. I cannot count the number of times where I've been reading in the Word that week, and wouldn't you know it, the preacher is preaching on what I read that week. Lord knows. It's not an accident that you're going through that in the Bible. And you read it, and then the Lord lays it on the heart of your pastor to preach on it. And that's just the Lord trying to solidify a truth in your heart. So, may God help us to get in the Bible, get in Proverbs, and let it do its work in our heart and in our life. Very practical book. I praise the Lord for that. It doesn't beat around the bush. I mean, when it talks about what God hates, seven things God hates, bang, 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 bang. Here's what's going to happen to the lazy man. Here's what's going to happen to the man that sleeps too long. I mean, it just lays it all out there for you and all the men in the room. Very early in the morning. What we're going to say? Let's all pray the Lord help us get out of bed with the right mindset. I'm excited. And you pray for that. But you pray, you read the book of Proverbs. You read it every day. And if you read it every day for the rest of the year, guess what? You're going to be reading the book at some point that the Lord's going to allow me to come back to. And you've already read it. And you're like, maybe a scripture you didn't fully understand. The Lord will give me the grace to expound it to you. And He'll illuminate it to your eyes so that you can better apply it to your life. So that's the whole goal of all this. It's not that you do what you want all week long, and then when it comes church time, I'm going to change your life. No, it's you're making your own bologna sandwiches all week long, and God will use me a lot of time to maybe help you better understand the passage of Scripture so you can apply it to your life and be more like Jesus. That's the goal. Be more like Him. Amen. Let's be dismissed with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity to preach your word. May you give us the grace to get in the book of Proverbs and to be obedient to what it says. Illuminate its truths to us. Show us how to apply it and give us the grace to apply it to our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.